Hey, everybody, welcome back to Fellowship's Community Bible Reading Podcast. This is Erin King here.
And this is Julie Shepherd.
Yes, Julie is going to be our co-host for all the podcasts on the Book of Judges, which is no easy task.
It's my favorite.
Everybody loves the Book of Judges. No, the Book of Judges has some great stories, mm-hmm. interesting stories. Horrifying stories. It is an interesting book. It is a riveting book. I think we can say that. It is like picking up the newspaper.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
I particularly chose Julie on this because I said, not only, you know, you are knowledgeable and will do all of this well and all of that, but also Julie is just so pastoral and caring, and you need somebody like that in a book like Judges to help, like, kind of hold our hands and walk us through it, have that caring voice. So I appreciate it, Julie.
You are welcome. I'm excited to be here.
So we are going to discuss some of the background and just some of the need-to-knows for the book of Judges. As we start, this is the episode where we talk about, you know, the history, where we are in the Bible, you know, kind of what genre the book is, all of that. That'll help us get a clear understanding as we read. So the book of Judges, this takes place after Moses, after the people have wandered in the desert, after they have gone into the promised land and conquered it. They have settled there in the promised land. They have done a lot of what God has told them in driving out the people there and settling there. There are still some Canaanites mm-hmm. living there, and they have not driven them all out. And that is going to be a major theme throughout the book,
right.
is what is happening because of those Canaanites that are still living there. And so the book of Judges are named after these judges that are leading the people at this time. They do not have a king in Israel. That's actually another major theme that we'll talk about. And so the judges don't think like our judges that, you know, that we would go to like in a courtroom. They're like tribal military leaders. And so this book is going to follow the downfall. We start in the beginning of the book of Judges. We've got some good leaders. Mm-hmm. And they go from good in the beginning to like kind of okay to just some really messed up leaders.
Yeah.
And Israel, the people just follow in their footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because what we said, there was not a king in Israel. And so this phrase is repeated several times. It's I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the very last verse in the book of Judges.
It is.
And repeated several times. There was no king in Israel. The people did whatever was right in their own eyes. And so that's a pretty scary place to be. And so this book is going to follow, the leaders, these tribal military leaders, in their depravity and sinfulness and fallenness. And the people are going to follow along right in that. And towards the end of the book, I mean, you've got civil war, you've got just absolute violence and sinfulness and depravity going on. And so one way that we see that a lot in this book, one example, I think, and Julie and I were just talking about this before we started recording, is a story in Judges 11. It's about a man named Jephthah, who is a judge, and he makes a vow to God as he's going into battle that if he If he returns home, if he has victory, returns home safely, he's going to sacrifice the first thing that runs out of his house.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if you've, heard this or read this. I read this recently. Most people assume that he is assuming that's going to be a person.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, you know, also it says that it was his only daughter, his only child, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
So unless he's expecting a goat to run out the door, who's most likely to run out to meet daddy when daddy comes back victorious from the battle? If you've
right.
only got one kid, it's probably going to be your daughter.
And that's kind of what I was reading, is that there's most animals don't run out of a house to greet somebody. I mean, you know, maybe your dog would, but dogs weren't considered acceptable
right.
sacrifices. So there's something already pretty messed up going on here. He says, you know, I'm going to sacrifice the first thing that runs out of my house. It is his daughter, which is just mm-hmm. horrifying. He really goes on some victim blaming and was like, why did it have to be you that ran out of the house?
Yeah. And again, who else did you expect was going to run out of your house? You have one child,
yeah.
and it's a daughter. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's troubling. And we're going to be talking about just kind of some of the troubling aspects that you see in this book. The story goes, if you know the rest of the story, I mean, he keeps his vow to God. He sacrifices his daughter. The mm-hmm. way that I heard this story, growing up, like the lesson that it taught is like, you better be careful what you promise to God, because you might have to keep your promise.
Oh dear.
Like, did you kind of feel that?
I don't know that this was really in any of my Sunday school lessons growing up.
Well, no, I certainly do not remember,
yeah.
like, you know,
I think I came across
sheet.
This first in university.
Oh really? Okay. So I had heard it kind of before that, maybe like in youth group. Stuff like that. And the moral of the story was, you better be careful what you promise to God. You need to, because you keep your promises to God. That is not the moral of this story.
Right.
What it shows is how assimilated, and God forbids human mm-hmm. sacrifice. In the mm-hmm. Old Testament, people were to keep their vows to God, but God provided a way out of that through like some monetary, you know, repayment or whatever.
Right.
But he explicitly forbade human sacrifice,
right.
child sacrifice. And so really this story shows how assimilated these people have gotten with the Canaanites,
yes.
who did sacrifice people and sacrifice their children, and how messed up his brain was as a leader of the nation of Israel, that he's going, no, this is what God wants. And so that's like a microcosm of what we're going to see in the book, is that these people have really gone off the rails, and are assimilating into the culture that they're part of, instead of following God.
Yeah. And I would say even that as they've assimilated into this pagan culture, they've begun to forget, if they ever had paid attention, they have forgotten as a people the character of their God, that their mm-hmm. God Yahweh is totally different from all of these other gods. And so as they've assimilated into the culture, they've begun to reshape Yahweh in the image of all of these, all their false gods. And so they genuinely think, like Jephthah genuinely thought he was being righteous.
Right.
Because obviously Yahweh would want the same thing that Molech or Chemosh or whoever might want.
Mm-hmm.
So that idea, they don't even know even the leaders don't know the character of the God that they are supposed to be serving. So if the leaders don't know the character of God, how will the people know the character of God?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so that's what we're going to be looking at a lot. That's going to be one of our themes, is God's holiness, mm-hmm. in that holiness, meaning his set apartness. He is totally different from these other gods, and the way that his people have turned from him. So one more thing in the book of Judges, and this is very pertinent to what we've just talked about, is this is a narrative account. Mm-hmm. It is telling things as they happen. Like we said, it's like picking up a newspaper.
Right.
You might pick up a newspaper and read some pretty horrible things that are going on. The newspaper isn't saying, yes, this is great. We love school shootings. We love genocide, whatever. They're reporting on what's happening, and that's what the book of Judges is doing. Mm-hmm. So as we've said before on this podcast, if something seems like it's sin, it's probably sin. And so, and God does use people who are just messed up. And God uses people in the book of Judges who are just completely wayward and gone from him. He uses them to accomplish his purpose. Doesn't mean he endorses what they're doing. Doesn't mean he's like, oh yeah, Samson's right. My guy.
Right.
You know?
Yes. Mass murder is awesome. It's not something that's consistent with the heart of God.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's a quick background on the book of Judges. Any other thoughts? Anything to add, Julie?
No, I think that's the best thing to think about as you're reading this, is that, like you said, we can be horrified by the facts that are reported. It doesn't mean that we have to endorse them or think that they're okay.
Yeah.
Like, we can feel the things that the stories make us feel, and that's okay.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about that, actually, mm-hmm. In one of the later podcasts. So tune in for that one. But we're really happy to have been able to have this conversation today, yeah. And hope we'll get started in the book of Judges soon, and hope it is the enjoyable at parts, challenging at parts, yeah. That you learn and are interested. And like I said, it really is riveting, mm-hmm. and I think reveals the heart of God in a different way. Really, that might be close to home to us as we look around and we yes. see things going on around us that we know don't match the heart of God. I think it can be really instructive
right.
for us.
Absolutely.
To see where the heart of God is amid suffering going on around us. So we will see y'all next time. Thank you so much.
Yeah.